Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2001. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 66, and we're unpacking paragraph 2. And it begins with, if we were to live, and ends with, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R. Reading the text and support today is Kara L., Dana P., Robin P., and at the unrecorded hour, listen for Lois P. for newcomers and sponsor contacts, and Robin P. again for giving the announcements. And this is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17192, 17,192. That would be Monday, June 21st, 2021. And today's 7 a.m., Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting for June 22nd, 2021 is 17197, 17,197. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. This is thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made a direct amends to such people whenever, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service today. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. Terry H. is from Florida. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Hello, everyone. Rhonda R. in Georgia, grateful and recovered. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda R. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and please press star 1 as your function of muting only, in this case, for the technology and the recording process can be interrupted with static noise when lines are not left connected to this particular meeting. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 66 today, and we're going to unpack paragraph 2, and that begins with If We Were to Live and ends with But for alcoholics, these things are poison. And I'd like Tara L., if she wouldn't mind, please, to read that paragraph today, opening us up and share her experience with that paragraph before we open it up for the rest of the congregation to share upon it. Thanks so much, Kara.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. If we were to live, we had to be free from anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Again, this is Kara L. from Long Beach, California, recovered compulsive overeater. I have to say that whenever I get angry, I think of this paragraph. Whenever I am trying to figure it out, I think of this paragraph. And it's not always to be like calming, but sometimes it's like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. You know, I hear it in my head. You don't get these dubious luxuries anymore. You don't get to have a brainstorm or anger anymore. And I think that's an ideal I can't do. And that's just where I find my recovery. It's something I can't do. I have to reach out to my higher power and I have to ask for help. And how do I do that? I work these steps, because when I do, it doesn't say that I'm never going to feel that. It's just I don't get a luxury. I don't get to be, you know, lay in it and be in it. Today, when I notice it's there, I reach for my higher power. I write up an inventory. I ask for help and guidance from my higher power and my fellows. Because I know today, when I stay in those states of being and that state of mind, I'm in self. And I am not of service to my higher power, and I'm not of service to others, and I'm not of service to my family when I'm in that state of being. And that's when, you know, I really, really want to be the figure it out girl. I really want to figure it out and know how to do it. And I just don't. And today being comfortable with that, being okay with, I don't know. And I need help from something that's greater than me. And I need to stay in these steps, and I need to work with fellows, and I need to have fellowship, and I need to do everything I can do so I can keep that conscious contact with something that is greater than me, with that higher power. And that's how I get a step out of those states of being. I'm so grateful for that today. And I'm so grateful that I get to be human and I get to help. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everybody. I look forward to hearing what everyone has to say in this paragraph.
Thank you very much, Kara. And that's Kara L. from California. So the lines are now going to be open for additional comments on the second paragraph on page 66 of the Big Book. And if you're interested in sharing, and you haven't shared since last Thursday, we would love to hear from you, because we would like to leave also room for other folks that haven't been able to share. And the idea goes like this, and I'll read it more clearly. We value your experience, and we'd like for you, though, to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So that's kind of the key there for us. We have like over 200 people on the line. I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, please.
Teresa C.
Teresa C.
New Jersey.
Thanks.
What page are we on, please?
We are on page 66, and we're reading paragraph 2.
Liar.
Did I say Leah? R?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Lynn D, California.
Lynn? B
yeah.
Like boy?
D as in David.
D like David. Okay, thank you. Well, in the interest of time, I'm going to take that line up right there, because the time's ticking and it's precious. Oh, hey, Sherry, I'll get you in there. So I have
Adele
Teresa,
R.
Lee, I'm sorry?
Adele R.
Adele R. Okay. Teresa, Leah, Lynn, Sherry, and Adele. So let's go with that. Teresa, you're up first for 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Teresa C., from New Jersey, a compulsive overeater in recovery. For me, just thinking about the difference between before I came into program and now that I'm in program, and, you know, living in that anger, you know, what my life was like then. You know, if I can go back there and think about it, can think about all the anxiety, the confusion, the helplessness, it really was a really bad place to be, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, physically. And then being able to work these steps, and again, as was said, with the help of my higher power, to help get myself out of that situation to a place where when that anger comes up, if that anger comes up, or however the anger comes up, you know, sometimes I think it's anger, sometimes it's annoyance, resentment, all those feelings. Now that I've been through the steps and I'm able to use that 10th step, I really just feel so much better. There's you know, that peace and serenity that were promised with the program. I just know, oh, I'm feeling this unease. Okay, let me do a 10-step here. Let me give it away and move on. And that really seems to help with my program. It has helped me. I think that's been one of the main things that's helped me to maintain my abstinence for, let's just say longer than I've had in the past. And so I'm very grateful for this program, for that, and for the fellowship that it's brought me, all the phone friends I've made. It's really been a blessing. So with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much.
Right.
Thanks so much, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Leah R. from New York. It's your turn for three. Press star one, please. Leah, you'll have to press star one in order to be heard. Your mic is probably...
Hi, Leah. You heard?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you can. Mm-hmm. Just for a little tip, each time that you're unmuted, the star one function will remute you, so you'll just want to watch for that so you don't get tripped.
Okay.
Thank you. It's your time now.
Thank you very much for your service. And
you're welcome.
I'm shying away from sharing, and that's already a setup to stay in my resentment, because that's so familiar, you know, as the food is so familiar in abstaining from food, putting down the foods I'm allergic to. I pick up the feelings, I pick up the resentment, the rage. Wow, I haven't seen this, I haven't seen that. So many years went by, you know, all my rage and justification with God, with my neighbors, with my fellows, with the people in the program. Everywhere I go, there's just so much, and it's just so automatic to be resentful. It comes just so much more easily and naturally. You know, we were forced into those behaviors. As a child, I couldn't feel or think or express myself. I pushed in all the rage and all the resentment, and now I'm in recovery. Thank God, I have a solution. I have steps, have a way to deal with it. I need to give it over to my sponsor as soon as possible. When a resentment comes up, just like I give over my food, I surrender my food, I surrender my resentments to my sponsor on a day-to-day basis, sometimes minute-to-minute basis. It has to be. I'm learning here. We're not cured. Like, I didn't just do good work, resentment work yesterday, and today, oh, again. You know, and many times I'm saying the same resentment again and again and again and again, and I'm powerless. I'm powerless over my resentment. When it goes, I need my higher power to remove it. And all the help I can get in recovery, and not rest on my laurels. I'm headed for trouble if I do. You know, which is the case when I'm feeling good, I got this. That's where the trouble starts, and then I end up in resentment, and rage, and the unbearable. So
time.
Thank you so much. I'll just wrap up and say, so for today, I want to be in recovery with my higher power in the solution. and not in the resentments and not in what blocks me from God. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Leah R. is from New York. Next up is Lynn D. from California, and then Sherry K. B. from California will follow. Hi, Lynn.
Oh, hi. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. Thank you for everybody's service on the line. I really appreciate it. Amongst 200 other people. Wow, that's fascinating to me. So I really like the words that Bill and his higher power are using in not only this paragraph, but also yesterday's, you know, fatal grave poison, right? I think he's a very humble writer. And I really do pay attention to words like that when they come across in the big book. And I also think, like, if it was written in present day or, you know, a little bit more modern, all I would have to say for me was like, dude, you're going to die over these little annoyances. Like, don't try to, you know, don't try to harbor those resentments and don't try to like internalize them and spend so much time and pain and energy on them. You know, you don't have to do it alone. You know, you can give it to your higher power and that he can help you. I also think that Bill was also trying to, like, tell us that, you know, it's not worth it, you know, these resentments, you know, not only will they kill us, but, you know, just doesn't really put us, you know, in that sunlight of the spirit mood. And my day definitely goes better when I do morning routine, working out, getting on a call or a meeting, instead of waking up, being angry, trying to do it my way. Thinking I need a break or a rest. And, you know, I can definitely see by the end of the day, which day went better. So, anyways, I just really appreciate the language in the book, and I appreciate the paragraph at a time that Vision takes it through. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lindy from California. Sherry KB, you're going to be up next, and then Adele will follow you. I wanted to let the rest of the folks here know that in 6 minutes, the lines are going to be open again to comment on paragraph 2, page 66 in the big book. If you want to get ready to do that, you have 6 minutes to prepare. In the meantime, I'll step aside. Sherry KB would love to have you share your thoughts on this.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and Team Tuesday, and welcome everybody on the line. Wow. You know, I've read this a lot. I think about this paragraph a lot. What jumped out at me this morning is it said, if we were to live. And that really brought up a lot for me today. Because, you know, when I was in the food and I was shoving down all those feelings, I wasn't living. I was surviving, if at that. And it's telling me, you know, Sherry, when you put the food down, all these feelings for all these years that you have shoved down for decades and decades are bound to come up. It's like a toaster. You know, you shove it down, eventually it's going to pop up. And I've noticed through the years with having the food down that there's levels of stuff that keeps coming up and continues to come up. And how I used to think, I'm not an angry person. I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I don't have anger. I don't have this. I don't have that. And you know what I had? I had internal rage. I had internal anger. The minute a feeling came, I'd stuff it down. I'd people-please. I would do all this stuff. And, you know, I do like looking up words and grouch. And, you know, this was back in 1930s, so grouch to them back then is the Sesame Street character we hear about these days. Grouch is habitually irritable, grumbling, whining, sulking, complaining, sourpuss, complainer, fault finder. I can definitely see myself in this internally. I used to fault find. I used to complain in my head. I used to whine in my head. I used to sulk. I used to get irritable in my head. You might not see it, or you might see it on the look on my face, but I would not say anything. And then the brainstorm, which is a fit of rage, which isn't the let's get together and brainstorm an idea. It's back then it was fits of rage. It was about sudden, violent, disturbances in the mind. And, you know, I had a father that was a rager, and the only feeling I was allowed was happy. And so, you know, lo and behold, I got so afraid that I'd turn out to be like my dad. But I had internal rage. And through working this program and using the steps and living in the steps and picking up that toolkit, I've learned to curve that. I've learned to allow myself to let it out in places where it doesn't hurt anybody or myself. But I need God, and God isn't in this paragraph at all. And I don't have the dubious luxury because I can't afford it. I will get sick. I will get spiritually sick if I do not deal with this stuff. And I pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sherry KB. Next up is Adele R. from Kansas. And get ready. We're going to open up the lines for additional comments on page 66, paragraph 2. Good morning, Adele. Press star 1, please.
Hi. Thank you. Good morning. I'm Adele R. and gratefully recovering. I just remember when I became abstinent initially, at a meeting, a fellow said to me, now you get to feel your feelings. And I didn't know I was angry. I didn't really know I had anger. But it came up like a wave, like a tidal wave over a certain issue. And I was so justified. There was no reason I could see why I did not should not have this anger and why I should not take the actions that I did, sending an all-staff email, just very, very self-righteous and then very uncomfortable and just this really unskillful directing of my anger. And what I've learned since that time is that I have a soapbox that is standing next to me all the time. And something in me will get on it and start to breathe fire. And something believes in what I, in those feelings. But I've learned, like, dear God, please humble me now. This is not the way. But there's things that I still need to address. And I'm very grateful for 10 steps that have put me into a state of humility and grace. And have shown me a way to live. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adele. Adele's from Kansas. So let's see here. Oh, we get to open up the lines again now for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 66. And if you haven't shared since last Thursday, we, as we do value your experience for sharing, we'd like you to limit your share by 3 days. And that would be probably sharing by tomorrow if you shared after that time. So I'd like to get your name, first initial, your last name, and your state, please.
Anna M.
Did I hear Lorna? Oh,
Tobin
Melinda.
E.
Hang on, just
Anna
a little bit behind. Kara, what am I hearing?
Anna M.
Anna, that's first. Okay, let's go with this way here. And I'm so sorry, I'm just a little bit behind. I got myself a little bit behind you all here. So Anna's going to go first, then Melinda. Who comes? Did I hear Tova?
Tova.
And I think I heard who else? Yeah, Tova, I got you.
Okay.
Sima M.
Something.
Rod,
something
Robin
else. Some, Stephanie is
Anne Marie M.
And Sima. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I think I have just enough to get me to the end. And Anne Marie, I'll tag you on the end. And I know I have to apologize because I missed somebody else's name. I just got myself tangled and didn't keep up with y'all today. This is what I have. I have Anna first, then Melinda, then Tova, then Stephanie, and then Sima, and then possibly Anne Marie, and then I'll open back up to redeem myself for those that I missed, if it's possible. Okay, good morning, Melinda. I'm sorry. Good morning, Anna. You're first.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and I know from experience that leading can be challenging, especially when it comes to hearing people, and I appreciate you repeating and asking. But as far as this paragraph, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and happiness. And it goes on, and it talks about that if I don't, if I want, if I decide that I'm going to hold on to being pissed off at people, then I'm not going to have contact with God. It's going to shut me off, just like I shut the volume off on a radio or shut the computer down or turn whatever off. And I mean, my whole life now is based upon being turned on to the sunlight of the Spirit and hearing what God has to say. For example, today I was doing my meditation, doing my prayer. I'm not in the food. Thank you, God. I'm abstinent and I'm recovered for today by God's grace and mercy. Somebody online always says that. But and I heard a message clear, loud and clear from God because I was tuned in, tapped in, and turned on to the Spirit of the universe. And it's a big message that I received. And this message is has to do with business, and it has to do with my future and my career. And I heard it loud and clear. I'm not in the food. I'm not whacking out about being ticked off at a friend for whatever they said. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful for this awareness and so grateful for this big book and grateful for the vision meetings and for Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, because this is a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And I appreciate everyone on the line, everyone that's on the line, even the silent witnesses, thank you for being here, because it's all about carrying the message to somebody else that might need it. And I just thank you so much. And I'm so filled with gratitude. I appreciate everyone. God bless you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Anna M. And you're from Connecticut? Might have caught her.
Yes, I'm from Connecticut, yes.
Excellent, just in case somebody wants to catch you on the membership list. Okay, thanks so much for your share. Up next is Melinda H. Star one, please, for your share for three.
Yes, thank you. Melinda H. is in Horace in Virginia. And thanks for letting me share. I was writing this morning my two-way prayer business, and stuff just came flooding out of that pen, and it had so much to do with this topic because, you know, I grew up with one very angry parent and the other one just hid in the food, and I grew up as a very angry child, and as an angry adult, my son has told me even into some years of AA recovery, I was an angry person. And for years, I have had what I called an anger tree, bless the tree. But, when I was so angry that I just couldn't stand it, I would go out and, take a hammer or whatever to the tree, instead of hurting myself or hurting someone else. And yet I find that I still have some residual anger in some things that I'm doing. And my sponsor has taught me that in resentment, in doing my fourth step this time, that there's always a fear behind my resentment. And lo and behold, as I've done the work, as she has suggested, I'm finding fear behind the resentments. So, just awesome that I, God had me dial in to the recording of the first meeting and then to this meeting so that I could share, because I rarely share, but it does help me to be a part. Thank you so much, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melinda H. from Virginia. Next up is Tova E, and then Stephanie will follow you, Tova.
Oh, hi, can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Okay, great. So thanks for having the meeting, and thanks for allowing me to share. I'm newer to the meeting, just a few months, and still working the steps, and still my absence was great at the beginning, but my husband's been really sick, suffering from a major depression, so I've had some shaky days. But I love this paragraph, and what I especially noticed today and was really helpful was this idea that they're not saying that the antidote to resentments is to be like cheerful and happy and grateful, which I think to me is like would be kind of extreme. What they're saying is we have to strive to have a spiritual experience. And to me, that's just wonderful. Like it's more attainable. Like last night I was laying in bed thinking, how am I ever going to get through this with my husband? Is he ever going to get better? And honestly, I was feeling resentment that it's so hard to live with somebody that's so miserable every single day. And I love him, but he's not the person I married, that's for sure. And it's painful to watch and to feel so helpless, not only helpless, but I feel like almost anything I say makes it worse. And so I wanted to go down to the kitchen and do, you know, overeating. And I was actually picturing the food in my head. And then I just said, you know what, I have to try to ask my higher power for help to get through this situation. And that's exactly basically what I think this paragraph is saying, that the antidote to resentment is a spiritual experience. And we're not always going to be happy. Things aren't always going to be sunshine, you know, but we always have God with us. And that just, it just seems so doable to me, you know, where I don't have to switch from having resentments to being happy. I have to switch from having resentments to feeling the presence of God and his help. So this is a great paragraph for me today, and thank you for sharing. I'm Tova E. in Illinois.
Thank you very much, Tova E. from Illinois. Stephanie M. from California, you're up next. And Sima, you'll follow Stephanie. Good morning. Stephanie, you want to press star one?
Can you hear me now?
I can. You betcha.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
I got the wrong Stephanie, looks like, didn't I? Okay, my apologies.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas. And as I was listening today, I was reminded of a quote by Fulton Sheen where he says, everyone worships something, and 9 times out of 10, it is oneself. And when I was in the disease and just so attached to my agenda and my will, I was really making an idol out of myself, and I was trying to play God. I needed to be in control of everyone and everything. And my defects of pride and vanity and entitlement led me to anger and resentment. And I didn't know how dangerous these were, but I felt like I was so entitled to my way and just forcing my agenda. And I was really unaware of how I was disrespecting the people around me. And I didn't have any regard to my own serenity either. I never wanted to be a gentle person. I wanted people to like me, but I was also wanted to be in control. And I felt like if I was gentle, that it would be weak and that I would lose control and I would be hurt. And I don't know if I consciously believed that, but on some level I did. And I was very afraid of being gentle. And as I've come into the program, the sanity that was restored to me in my step two has given me a desire to be gentle and loving and to seek serenity. And I found that with serenity come wisdom and connection to my higher power. And I also understand now why life felt so unmanageable before, because I was trying to run the show and I had no connection to that wisdom, to that source of power. And I was running things out of my own strength and the chaos that I was attached to and having my way. And there was no serenity in that. There was no peace in that. And there was no manageability in that. So I'm just so grateful for the gifts of the program and the serenity and the sanity that come when I can let go of my pride and my anger. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie N. from Kansas City. Sima M., you're up next for 3 minutes. And Anne-Marie, it looks like we have time.
Hi, Melanie. This is Sima. I would like to pass, and I will join again tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, good. Thanks so much, Sima. Anne Marie, are you still there and ready? Sima passed. Anne Marie, star one.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can. Good morning to you.
Okay. I had to run and get my phone. Hi, good morning. This is Anne Marie M. Through God's grace, recovered from compulsive overeating. I'm glad to be on this line this morning. And, you know, I too find that fear is underlying resentment. You know, I'm either not going to get something I want or I'm going to lose something I have. The line that really jumped out at me, but with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. I've realized that my relationship with God needs to be ongoing. I need to grow it. It's not for the longest time, you know, I had that relationship and I didn't do very much to enhance it. And I am doing that today. I'm doing it daily to enhance my spiritual relationship with God. I choose to call my higher power God. And that has made the biggest difference in the world. I mean, this book was written, I think it's on page 44. The main purpose of this book is to find a relationship with God. I'm not sure if that's exactly how it's worded, but and then on page 55, the answer comes. The spirit, you know, we find that great reality deep down within ourselves. So anyway, that's so strong for me. The other thing that was that I need to get rid of my resentment. The resentments are going to come up. I'm human. It doesn't mean that I'm bad or I'm not doing something right. My program's not right. I thought that for a while. It only means that I'm human and I am keeping this anger going. I don't have to do that anymore. I have a 10 step and I just did one this morning and I'm free of that chatter that's in my mouth. Well, he should have said this and she should have said that. She shouldn't have said this. I was listening to an AA meeting earlier and all this chatter was going on in my head and I was burning up. By the time I got off, I don't even know if I was able to hear the rest of the meeting, honestly. I just thought of that because I was blocked by my resentment. And I am not blocked now because I heard so many great shares. I'm going to pass with that. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Anne Marie. And Anne Marie is from South Carolina. It looks like, honestly, we do have time for two-minute shares. If you're interested and you haven't shared for 3 days, I'd love to get to
Mary L.
Robin
Dondi.
Shannon
and
C.
Robin
Dawn
C. M. Mary L.
Yep. I got you, Mary. You're the first one I got.
Dawn M. Thank you.
I got the two. I'm so sorry. So many are eager to share. And so in the interest of time, we're going to jump right in with Mary L. Everyone else, please press star one on your phone keypad. And Mary, you jump right in.
Okay. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. We don't accept, in other words, I get angry when I don't accept behaviors or circumstances. Last week, I had a situation that I had to lead a meeting and I couldn't get through. Something went wrong with my phone. So I went crazy and got very angry and upset at my husband, whose fault it wasn't his fault. So what did I do? It bothered me. Remorse came and I had to do a step 10. The same scenario I had yesterday, with the difference that this time I was going to get angry and upset, but I stopped because before I know that I'm going to go crazy. I do. I read page 87, 88 as we go through the day with pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decision. So we became much more efficient and we don't burn up foolish energy. So that's what I did yesterday. And I didn't have to do a step 10, and I didn't have to create a resentment. So I learned a lot from what happened to me last week and yesterday. And this morning, I was calling my name, and I couldn't get into the line. And I was so frustrated. And I said, pause. I went and asked my husband, can we switch telephones? And that's why I'm sharing now. So it's very important to accept things the way they are and to pause instead of getting angry, because getting angry is poison, like it says in the book. And then you create a resentment and it follows you all over unless you immediately do a step 10. So before I do a step 10, I tried 8788. If that doesn't work, then I do. Thank you so much, Melanie, for letting me share, and thank you for your service.
Mary, where are you from? Do you want to give your state?
Yes, Mary L., New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thanks for your share, too. Robin P., you're up for 2 minutes. Yeah. You have to press star one, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much, Melanie. Thanks for an amazing meeting. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And it's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. I was just that mental obsession, and it's fatal. Oh my gosh. And then getting into the food, you know, resentment eats its own container. You know, what I think, it's like taking poison and thinking it's going to kill somebody else. And I have tools now, and it's my responsibility to be on guard, like guarding my own mind and surrendering it to God, because I believe those resentments when they come in, like it's that self-righteous anger. And no matter, even if it's right, I can't afford it. So it doesn't matter. And so it just matters that I am peaceful and able to be of use to God and my fellows. And when I'm in resentment, I am not of use to God and my fellows. So it's such a blessing to be free. And I want to be free. Above everything, I want to be free. So I get to, when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I get to surrender it, work my steps, and ask for help. And so God bless everybody. I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thank you so much, Mal.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your share. That takes us shy of the time that we need for the next portion of our unrecorded meeting. If somebody would like to share for 60 seconds, I know that's kind of a push. You're welcome to. If not, I can relegate that time to grabbing more sponsor contact information, which is always welcome. I'm going to take that as all minds are clear as we then go forward in wrapping up this particular part of the recorded meeting. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of the shares that you shared today, this morning, and all those that were a part of the meeting to make this possible, for the doors to be open, the lights to be on, and the structure of the Big Book to be in order. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure here today. The shares have been phenomenal. Dana P., would you please take us to the end of this meeting by reading from page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Melanie, so much for your service. Dana P., compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until